Today's podcast interview is with Dr. Duncan Carmichael, and you've just written a book called Younger for Longer. In fact, you wrote it some time ago, and it's coming out in the States, in the US and Canada later this year in November. Younger for Longer, my question to you would be, why did you write the book? What does it cover, and who is it aimed at?
I first of all wrote it for me, so it really helped for me to get all my thoughts together on different topics and direct things, and it really... part of it came from a series of lectures that I was giving, so it was really good to put it all together. I next wrote it for the various patients that we have coming here, and it helped them to sort of get a synopsis of the information we're trying to give to them. And lastly, I feel that health is a big future topic, so I really wrote it for as many people who are interested in health as possible, so the general population.
So it's not an academic book, it's not a scientific book, as in a hard-to-understand book. It's backed by science, but it's written for a general readership. Is that right?
Yeah. So what I've done is try and write it in a very easy-to-read style, but at the same time, we have got 740 different references in the book, and we've got the references on the page that you read, so that if you want to have a look to see why something has been said in a certain way and what the references is right there for you. So try to sort of marry that combination of an easy-to-read book, a book that flows, a book that has narrative, but at the same time, a book that has scientific backing.
So then a quick note about the chapters then, because there's a wide array of chapters in this book that cover a variety of topics. Just run through some of those chapters so that listeners get an understanding of what it is that the book actually covers in terms of a younger for longer life.
So the book starts with the beginning end of it, which is the background of, do we think about life? Do we think about death? And if we were to want to live, let's say, to 100, why? We wouldn't want to live to 100 if we are being pushed around in a wheelchair and having our nose wiped for us. So really, what are our goals with our life? And so it's trying to help people to think through what their philosophy for life is. And if someone decides that their philosophy is to live hard and go out in the blaze of glory, and then that's their decision. I hope that people think that looking after themselves and a long, healthy life and still climbing the mountain at 95 is a goal. That's my sort of goal. And so that's really how the book starts, helping people to think through those different issues. And then from there, we go on to the different aspects of inflammation in the body. Does inflammation in the body age the body? Yes, it does. Is it coming up in many of our modern diseases of cancer, heart attacks, obesity, and diabetes? And yes, it is. And then what can we do about it? What's the nutrition that we should be looking at? The healthy nutrition, the bad nutrition. And then following on from nutrition would be, what are the toxins that we get exposed to? A huge number of toxins, accumulative toxins, or what we call now persistent toxins, that from the age of 40 start to have a negative impact on our health and start to accumulate in our bodies. And then from there, one starts to, or I looked at the different hormones. We've got building up hormones, which we call anabolic hormones, which 20 years ago were really all the rage. So the things like testosterone, growth hormone. And do these really help us to live longer? And the short answer is no, they don't. They have their uses in very limited ways. But hormone balancing, microdosing of hormones, natural or bioidentical hormones, are all topics that in the last 15 years have become very important and very relevant. And so I go into that in two or three chapters, one on women's health, one on men's health, one on general hormones. And then from there, we look at sleep, the importance of sleep, because without sleep, nothing works. The importance of the brain, different aspects of the brain inflammation, Alzheimer's. And then lastly, probably my favorite chapter, which is the future. What have we got to look forward to in the future in terms of genes, genetic manipulation, stem cells, aging cells in our body, and what to do about them?
And there's also topics like stress, I know, is one that's covered that a lot of people will be familiar with as a personal thing, especially in these coronavirus times. And there's a chapter on the liver. Why is there a chapter on the liver? Why is that organ, and I know there's a chapter on the skin as well, for example, but why is the chapter on the liver so important? What is it the liver does that is so essential to our well-being? I don't think it's something that we think very much of on a day-to-day basis.
Rob, you're right. I mean, I often think of the liver as the unsung hero of the body. It works all of the time to clear the toxins that we put inside ourselves, the toxins that we generate. It clears all the hormones out of us, and we just take it for granted. And it does this day in and day out. But what happens is that at the age of 20, it will be clearing toxins and hormones beautifully. But by the age of 50, it's become a little bit tired, and it's not doing the job it was doing 30 years ago. And there's various things we can do about that. And then if you throw into the mix the external toxins we're exposed to, which will be your heavy metals, your leads, your mercuries, your cadmiums, your plastics, your pesticides, all of those toxins accumulate in us. And the load that we have on top of us with these toxins is a massive load nowadays. And what we see in our clinic is that most livers in 50-year-olds are not coping, and these toxins are accumulating. And it's having a really nasty health impact on people. So the good news is that we can do stuff about this. So there's things we can give the liver, either as a supplement or as a drip, to support the liver. And there's certain habits we can have in avoiding toxins that make a huge difference with the liver. So I see the liver as being a really, really important topic.
And then I wanted to take a step back and just look at something that comes up in your book. It's come up in other books as well. Lifespan versus health span. What do we mean by health span, and how does that differ from lifespan?
That's also really important. So your lifespan is the number of days you have in your life. So if you live to 70, your lifespan is 70. If you live to 80, your lifespan is 80. However, if you live to 80, but for the last 15 years of your life, you are again, in a wheelchair, you're being looked after, you're in pain, you're on medication, you're not mobile, you're depressed, then those last 15 years are not seen as healthy years. And so your health span would not be 80, it would be 65. So there's a move to increase our lifespan, that we live longer, but really there's a stronger move, and certainly it's what my belief is that we should be focusing on increasing our health span. So the number of years that we have where we are healthy, where we can climb the mountain, where we can go out to the sea, where we can talk with friends, where we can see pictures and paintings and go to movies and shows. So health span really is the important factor in this. And what we find, and what studies have found, is that the better we look after ourselves, the longer our health span. So that instead of living, let's say we live to 80, but instead of being healthy just to 65, we should be very healthy up to 79. And then over the final year, perhaps our health would deteriorate and we would suddenly die. Whereas if we do not look after ourselves, if we live a life of excess, we can expect to have a shorter health span and then a longer time of discomfort and misery at the end. And that's an important thing to consider when deciding on what sort of life you want to live.
So that brings up, to me at any rate, the topic of inflammation. And I know from my reading on the subject in these coronavirus times, COVID-19, that inflammation, metabolic syndrome, and COVID-19 susceptibility seem to be related. Can you talk us through that? Because that sounds like an extremely important topic in 2020.
Yeah. So inflammation is very important. And we've seen for really the last 20 years that inflammation, for example, in arteries and heart attacks is the important mechanism that drives the blockages in the arteries, causing the heart attacks. Similarly, we're seeing now in the COVID epidemic or pandemic that inflammation in the body during a COVID infection, a COVID-19 infection, can lead to what we call a cytotoxic storm, which can lead to an overwhelming of the body, severe illness, and sometimes death. But then similarly, inflammation in the body before one gets the COVID-19 infection has been shown to be very important. So for example, if we're overweight, if we're obese, if we have sugar diabetes, those two items can inflame the body. And that inflammation then can contribute hugely to a nasty COVID infection and getting that cytokine storm that everyone fears. So we are seeing time and time again in many different diseases that inflammation is an important nasty part of the mechanism that leads to a nasty illness.
What three key aspects should readers take away from your book? There's a lot in there. If you had to pick just three, what would they be?
Well, the three important topics of health for me are really the three S's. And the problem is that, you know, if I look at other topics, well, that's important as well, and that's important. But really, sleep, stress, and sugar are possibly my three most important items that I feel we should all be focusing on if we want to have optimal and ideal health. So if we take sleep, for example, a quality night's sleep of 8 hours will not just clear the brain of multiple toxins. It will not just reboot the brain hormones. It will not just reboot the body hormones and reboot the immune system, but it'll help with multiple other pathways in the body and is the single most important item for health. And we've seen in very rare occasions if people stop being able to sleep altogether, it can have devastating health consequences. So sleep is my number one item. And we find that with all our patients coming into our clinic, if we can't get their sleep right, we really struggle with everything else. So sleep is absolutely essential, even if we feel we only need 4 hours sleep a night. The second one is stress, which you mentioned earlier, and stress really is an important factor. So we all live under stress. We can turn stress in a positive direction, but really stress can become overwhelming. And when it does, we tend to live on a treadmill of up in the morning, coffee, trying to hit deadlines, and really trying to come down in the evening on wine or alcohol. And that's quite a toxic cycle to be in. And we see time and again that amount of stress will often lead to burnout, can lead to immune system problems, can lead to cancers, can lead to depressions. And that's probably the most common problem we see in the clinic, is people coming in with stress-related exhaustion, depression, and injuries and problems. And then the third thing would be, in my mind, would be sugar. And 20 years ago, sugar was really in our blind spot. And we were talking a lot about fats and removing fat from the diet, but we forgot of the inflammatory effects that sugar has on our body. And so sugar we find in so many processed foods. When I looked at how much sugar I was taking in 20 years ago when I thought I was living a healthy life, it was a huge amount. So it was probably about 300 grams of sugar a day. I've now got it down to less than 50 grams of sugar a day. And that's made a very big difference with my health, with my energy levels. So over the last 20 years, that blind spot that we've had for sugar has become more in focus. And most of us have started to realize the damaging effects of sugar. And it's not just sugar that we get in a cup of tea, that we get in a sweetie, but it's sugar that we drink in any of our fizzy drinks, in alcohol. It's sugar that we get in bread, in pastas. So in the multiple sources that we'll find sugar. So those three factors, sleep, stress, and sugar, the three S's, I feel are the most important for maintaining and managing our health.
Your book is coming out in the US and Canada on November the 3rd, the day of the US presidential election. So I wish you well with that. For people in the US, I believe the price is $19.99. And in Canada, I believe it's $24.99. It's available at all the key outlets in the US and Canada. And there's a website to go with it as well, which is called youngerforlongerbook.com. That's one word, youngerforlongerbook.com. So thanks very much for your time and your knowledge. And we look forward to speaking to you next time.
Thank you so much, Rob.